Well, the Lord tells us in the book of Hebrews that He spoke in time past in different manners. And today we're going to look at the gospel in the trees. The gospel in the trees. We'll look into Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. The scripture says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." This is the first Adam. He was put there to dress the trees of the garden and to keep it. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Adam had this charge from God, this responsibility from God to dress and keep the garden. And he was one with God. God was his father, and Adam was his son, God's son. And he had a oneness with God. There was no sin present. And Adam was given the right to reach forth his hand and to eat freely of any of these trees of the garden with God's permission to do so. He had no sin. He could freely partake of anything that belonged to God. Except one. There was one commandment. Just one. Verse 17. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." I thought of when Art and I were up there at the apple farm picking apples, and we were all up there together. And Art said, "Look at all these trees out here, Clay." And I looked around, and it's just all these apple trees out there, you know, growing. And he said, "Now, you can eat of any of these trees you want to, but not that one tree right there." Adam's transgression in taking that fruit of that tree was that he was forsaking his oneness with God. By taking that forbidden fruit, he declared his self-dependence and his independence from God. And independence from God, who is life, is death. If you don't have God for everything, you don't have God for anything. His whole being was defiled. Everything about him. And he died spiritually, and he was cut off from God. He lost all rights and all his privileges. Now this applies to you and me right here today. Every sinner that's born of Adam, this applies to us. You got to hear what God says here now. Look over Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. This is the gospel in the trees, and what God's doing here in creating these things, and as much as it is in the gospel of Christ Jesus, this is the gospel of Christ in these trees. Now look at verse 22, Genesis 3:22. "And the Lord God said," this is after Adam has eaten, disobeyed God, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil." He's become as one of us, as God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, something new. "Lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life." Remember that tree of life? "Lest he now put forth his hand and take of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore, to prevent this from happening, therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The eternal life of God is Christ, the tree of life. He said, I am the life. He is the tree of life. Revelation 2:7, the Spirit says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The elect of God are trees of righteousness planted by Christ Jesus the Lord, the last Adam. Now, let's think about what happened here. The first Adam had the responsibility to dress and keep that garden. But when God put him out of the garden because of his sin and his rebellion against God, that willful rebellion against God, God declared plainly that Adam and all who would be born in Adam could never of themselves reach forth their dirty, self-willed, sinful hand and take of Christ and live. They can't do that of themselves. Adam lost all right by his will to reach forth his hand and take of the tree of life. You know why it couldn't be that way? It couldn't be by Adam's will, and it can't be by your will, your fleshly Adamic will. You know why? If God allowed him to do so, Adam could have boasted that by the same hand with which he rebelled against God and sinned against God, he also saved himself. He could have said the same hand and the same will that sinned against him fixed my rebellion and put away my sin. And the sword of God's holy justice would have been mocked. God's glory would have been mocked. And Christ Jesus the Lord would have become of no effect unto you, unto me, and to Adam. Verse 24 says, So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Glory to the fullest. Glory in the highest. The glory of God is what we're dealing with here. That's what the paramount importance is here in what we're seeing and what God did and why God would not allow Adam to reach forth his hand and take of that tree. The right of keeping and dressing God's garden belongs to Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the last Adam. We see what we did when we look at the first Adam. Now we're going to behold what Christ did, the last Adam. Just as God told Adam, put him in that garden and said, Now dress and keep this garden. God put Christ Jesus into this world, into the midst of this garden and said, Now dress and keep it. Dress and keep it. The cherubims here represents the angels of the Lord. Christ Jesus is the angel of the Lord. He receives preeminence in all regard. He is the angel of the Lord. And he came forth preaching the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. There's a link in the email version of the bulletin that I email to you each week called Christ Preach Christ. Read that. Christ preached Christ. He came forth preaching the way, the truth, and the life to God. He all said, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ. He's the only prophet that ever came forth and did preach himself. And he sends forth his messengers, and they're called in scriptures the angels of God. And they come forth with the gospel that I'm declaring to you now. That's what we see in these cherubims that were put there to keep the way of the tree of life. First, Christ. Secondly, those he sends with the gospel of Christ. And that's how the way of the tree of life is kept. Now, here's the second thing. The flaming sword here represents the righteous judgment of God. That righteous judgment that's manifest in Christ and Him crucified on the cross at Calvary, which is declared through the gospel. The sword of justice had to be plunked before any that God determined before to save, before now they can be made so as to stretch forth their hand and take up Christ, the tree of life. That sword of justice has got to be plunged into Christ on their behalf to declare that God is just. This thing's got to be done in a right and holy manner. He's got to be just. And He's the one that does the justifying. He's doing this in the person of His Son. That's what Zechariah 13:7 tells us. Turn over there with me. Zechariah 13:7. That's why He sent Christ forth. He says, "Awake, O sword." You get over there, Zach. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." This sword is His justice, and the shepherd is Christ the Lord. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow," His Son, the last Adam. "Saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." But God says in Zechariah 13:7, but God says, "I'll turn my hand upon the little ones." He'll gather them. He'll gather them back into His garden. Back into His, that garden represents God's presence. And we can't come into His presence till He has awakened that sword and plunged it into His Son and purged us of all the sin we are. The soul that sinneth must die. Christ had to die in the room instead of those He represented. And that sword was plunged into Him, and that justice was satisfied. Now, that sword also represents the word of this gospel. This gospel keeps the way of the tree of life. This gospel, the very substance of it is Christ and Him crucified. The very substance of it is that God is just and the justifier in the person of His Son through the death of His Son on Calvary's tree. That's the sword we preach. And the Word of God, Scripture says, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut and slay Adam in you and will heal you. That's what this gospel is for. And it must keep the way of the tree of life. Now, be turning to Isaiah 61. Now, we've seen here that He came forth preaching this. He's the angel. He came forth preaching that it's Him that satisfied justice. And when Christ Jesus, the last Adam, when He makes His people perfect, makes them to partake of Christ, the tree of life, He does it in so that they can partake of it in snow-white innocence. Not saying, by the same hand that I sin, I use that same defiled will to take of the tree of life. No, no. No, no. He creates them anew, and He makes them take of this tree in snow-white innocence, that God might be honored and glorified. Now, we said this angel represented Christ, the prophet who came forth preaching the word. We said it represents His messengers. We said this sword represents His justice, the breaking down and binding up of His people, and that it's Christ Jesus, the tree of life, and He keeps this way. It's given to Him, the last Adam, to keep and dress the trees of His garden. Now watch, this is all said in Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." He's that angel of the Lord. "He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." How did that heart get broken? How did that prison get opened? He bore the sword of God's justice in His own body on the tree. And He says, "to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." That's a twofold thing that happened on the cross. Was God made His people acceptable, and He took vengeance. He took vengeance. to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's how he dresses them. Now look, why does he do that? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That he might be glorified. That God might be glorified. That the triune God of heaven and earth might be glorified. That he might be glorified. That's why Adam couldn't reach forth with his will, and that's why you and I can't either. And that's why it takes God in sovereign, irresistible grace to create us anew and make us to behold that all righteousness has been accomplished by God. And that's the only way you can come back into the presence of God. The only way. He's made unto us wisdom. We behold that he's wisdom. And you know what the wise man said about wisdom? She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. I only need one acid test to know if a man really knows who God is and if he don't. You know what it is? The man who does knows, not by my will, not by my purpose, but by Christ Jesus the Lord, by the grace of God, I am what I am, that he might be glorified. Natural man don't want God to be glorified. God's regenerated, born-again people only want God to be glorified. Well, what have we learned here? The first Adam was given charge to keep and dress the trees of God's garden, but he disobeyed the commandment of God. We turn to Revelation 22. He disobeyed the commandment of God and plunged all whom he represented into spiritual death. Christ, the last Adam, the angel of God, fulfilled the commandments of God, satisfied the justice that Adam offended, and he did that for all for whom he represented. And he dresses all the trees for whom he died in his perfect, spotless robe of righteousness. And he creates them anew and makes them willing to come unto him. And through faith, when that believer trusts Christ as his complete and total righteousness, he has completely, totally done the commandments of God through faith in Christ. And this is how you're brought back into God's garden, into God's presence. Look at Revelation 22. 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments. How do you do them? Believe on his Son. That they may have right to the tree of life. And may enter in through the gates into the city. Into God's presence. From whence they were driven out. For without, on the outside, look who's still driven out. Are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, the angel of the Lord, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, to declare this gospel to you right here today. I am the root. I am the tree. The root out of a dry ground. The tender plant that grew up. Tree of life. And the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And so it is that Christ dresses and keeps the trees of God's garden and gives the believer access to this tree of life and brings all his children into God's presence in paradise. Now here's what he says. You've heard the truth. Do you want God to be glorified? Here's how it's going to be glorified. Verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit and the Church say, come, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take up the water of life freely. if you will. It's because He's made you willing and you desire that He be have all the glory. If you're not willing, it's because you yet desire to have the glory. And it's not because God's not able and He's not willing. It's our own sinful rebellion. There's one way to come. We come in Christ. We come with nothing. And everything that He gives is absolutely free. Absolutely. Amen.